Yo, what is up, everybody? This is another episode of Complimentary Pieces. I'm your host, Dylan Sage. It's finally tournament season. It's going to kick off relatively soon. So it means draft content is going to be pretty epic. Dustin and I have made plans to do a lot of podcasts, and I've done some plans to do some solo podcasts and have some guests on it to talk about these players that need to be talked about. With this episode, we are talking about Dylan Jones of Weber State. You know, if you're a Portland Trailblazers fan, you might remember one particular player that was a Weber State alum in Damian Lillard. Well, Dylan Jones is 6'6", 235 pounds, age 22. So he's an older upperclassman, and because of the COVID year, he's actually a junior instead of, if it wasn't a COVID season, he would be a senior. But I think of his role as being more of a point forward. He really excels with the ball in his hand. So a little bit about him. Dylan was born on October 29th, 2001. His brother Eric Jones plays basketball in Germany in the professional setting. He was the 37th ranked small forward by Rivals his senior year of high school. So in that COVID season, he started two games and played in 23, was the Big Sky Freshman of the Year, and just the eighth Wildcat to ever earn Freshman of the Year honors. He was awarded Kyle Macy's award for College Insiders, giving him the nation's top freshman. So that was the 2021 COVID season. In 2021-22, which was his freshman season, he played in all 33 games, started 32 of them, earned first team All Big Sky honors, second on the team, second All District honors, led the Big Sky with. And was seventh in the country in rebounding at 10.6 rebounds a game. Finished in double figures in rebounding 24 times and pulled down a career high 16 rebounds twice. Totaled 350 for the year, the sixth most in a season in Weber State history. In 22-23, his sophomore season, was a unanimous selection to the All Big Sky first team. Led the Wildcats in points, rebounds, assists, and steals, playing in 32 games and started 31, recorded 20 double-doubles on the season, the third most for any player in the country in that season. Recorded 350 rebounds on the season for the second year and tied for the sixth most in the season in Weber State history. And now we are going for his junior year, 2023-2024, Dylan Jones was a unanimous Big Sky selection, MVP of the preseason. He was at a G League combine in the summer, and he returned to Weber State. And that shows some loyalty, because there were teams that were wanting his services in the Big Five conferences. So to see him return to the Big Sky and Weber State shows some loyalty that not really there in today's game, especially with, you know, the recruiting and NIL deals and, you know, recruiting of other players. He could have gone to a legit team and been featured. In his three seasons with Weber, he's played 88 games with 65 starts, fifth in the school's history in rebounds, also fifth in steals, and 22nd in career points with 1,000. He's the only Weber State player in history with 1,000 points, 800 rebounds, 250 assists, and 10, oh, well, with 100 steals, excuse me, not 10. All right, so let's talk about Dylan as a player, and it's very weird for me as a Dylan Sage to be talking about another Dylan, but I will try my best to say Dylan and not I. So the first thing you notice about Dylan in Weber State system is he gets a ton of playmaking reps. He has a really nice handle. He makes the defense nervous every time he goes downhill. getting 2 feet in the paint, and then just they force help to stop him, and then that breaks them out of the shell of the defense that they try and create. You know, he breaks that defense. His footwork, force, and the playing angles with his dribble creation, like it not only makes him a worthy bet as a creation or a secondary playmaker in the next level, but I really do believe that he's just one of those bowling ball slashers with the ball in his hand. He's gonna get to the paint. He's gonna make the opposing defense feel him the entire way down the court, but it's craft. The dribbling is craft. It's a really big bag. Also, Weber State puts him in a bunch of pick and roll actions. His height with how tall he is gives him a distinct advantage because he can see over the initial defense and then see where everybody else on the court is. When you're 6'2" or 6 foot, when you're a smaller guard, you don't get the increase in vision that you do as a 6'6" guy. When he goes downhill and does it a lot, he's a quick first step, and that gives him that small advantage that he needs to get to the hoop and try and lay it in. Like, if he didn't have that quick first step, he doesn't have the vertical athleticism to get into the paint. And I believe he's only dunked it 5 times in 2024. So getting that quick advantage and then keeping the defense off balance with his handle is a huge bet for his offensive game. Like, yeah, he runs pick and roll, but he has to generate that quick first step, get the angle, and score. And when he gets into the lane, he finishes it with a lot of craft. Like, it's not just a single, like, basic layup. He can float it. He can scoop it. He really has a nice bag at finishing in the lane using layups instead of dunks. Him not dunking it, I mean, the fact that he rebounds so well and with being such a kind of poor vertical athlete, it shows some potential in what he can do on the floor. You know, rebounding always travels. Let's talk about his vision. He has the vision to make the right basic pass, obviously. Like, most people that are such a usage player can do the easy passes, but he has the creativeness to not only just see the normal pass, but create lanes and opportunities that most people don't see. Him being tall helps him generate the power in his passes, and then he can use his angles, use his long arms to find the angles to pass it, to find open shooters. And one thing I've noticed about his passing is he has the timing with his passing, and a lot of times it's some no-look stuff, so it's really fancy, but he has the timing to hit someone as they're gaining momentum going downhill for easy scores. You're in the Big Sky, which, you know, like, it isn't the best competition in the world, but helping these people have momentum generating towards the basket, it's going to result in a higher number of assists and a higher number of, you know, helping your teammates score. So he had such a big usage rate offensively that defense, it's hard to really gauge where he is. I watched a game against St. Mary's, who is a tournament quality team. I think they're a 5 seed or something, where he definitely had a few bad possessions earlier in the game, but in the second half, he was a menace. So I know that he absolutely can play defense, but because of his role offensively, he couldn't focus on it. But the St. Mary's is like a quad 100 game. This was a big potential game for them. So he definitely played defense and shows that he can. The 220 pounds frame that he has, like, I don't ever see him as a, like, point of attack defender, but I think that he can offer a lot of resistance and potentially move up. Like, I think of him as a 3, but he could probably defend 4s because of how strong he is. Rebounding, he's one of the best rebounders in the NCAA for the last 3 years, and him being 6'6", like, I was looking at players that have the similar rebounding percentages, and it was like Travion Williams and like other like legitimate centers. So his quality of rebounds and how, it, I guess I said that before, but the fact that it can travel and he can generate rebounds is huge. Like elite rebounding is a skill set, and you can go to it every game. Scoring, sometimes teams can just scheme it up, so you have a tough time. Like, I think Dalton Connect is going to have a tough time because teams can scheme like a box and one or hard hedge off of a screen. Rebounding travels. If you're an elite rebounder, that's something that you have. Just look at Paul Millsap when he came into the league. There wasn't that much hype to him, but he was like the best rebounder in the country. Having a 6'6 guy be one of the best rebounders in the country, especially when we're talking about the Portland Trailblazers, we're one of the worst rebounding teams. Like, think about our starting five. DeAndre Ayton boards, but Jeremy Grant doesn't. I don't even know who our normal three would be. Tumani, he's not really in. He absolutely tries, and he gets into position and goes for it, but he doesn't generate the rebound. He does the process most of the way through it until the rebounding happens. But I don't think that it's like a. He's not a good rebounder yet. So having a guy at the three position when you have Scoot, who, as much of a bulldog and firecracker as he is, isn't the best rebounder, and he isn't the tallest point guard. Shaedon Sharpe really hasn't had the chance to show that he's a great rebounder. Jeremy isn't. Tumani isn't. And DA is. Having a guy that can come off the bench and rebound for you is kind of a very useful thing for the Blazers to have, since if it doesn't go to DA, I don't think it goes to us. So I've talked a lot about the positives in his game. The con is I don't think that he can properly space the floor right now effectively. He's shown the ability to hit long range threes, but it's such a, it doesn't happen enough for me to really think that this is a pathway forward to him. I think the pathway forward for him, if he was in a hit, is going to be as a point forward, kind of like what we're seeing with Delano Banton in Portland. He has much better handle than Delano, for sure. Much better handle. But Delano does second side pick and roll actions on fast breaks. He finds the open guy. I think Dylan Jones could be a better creator right out of the gate. So him spotting up might not be the best thing. And we talked about it on the Holy Backward today. Scoot was spotting up. That doesn't do him much good. With so many people that need the ball in their hand to succeed, it's not the best usage of his one amazingly high skill set is his creation. Like offensively, he gets into the paint and scores off of that dribble. So if he's not using that, I don't know how he's scoring, and I don't know particularly how well he is going to be defensively because he has such a high usage. We've seen it sparingly when he has to play defense. He's good at it. But so spacing the floor, absolute negative. Not a vertical athlete. Five dunks, not really. You're not seeing him sky for any shot blocks. So that kind of limits what he is. But the fact is, he's still a really skilled basketball player that puts in his effort. Obviously, there's going to be issues with him needing the ball in his hands and on the Portland Trailblazers. I think the potential scale down might be hard for him because of how used he is and how mentality-wise he wants to be that lead creator for a team. But when you have Scoot Henderson and you have Shaedon Sharpe, or if he goes to another team, every team outside of Washington has stars that need the ball in their hands to succeed. So I don't know if you're going to change your whole scheme up for Dylan Jones, who I think is a really good basketball player. Another negative in him is he is a Big Sky player. He played at Weber State. There isn't that much competition for him to go against. I mean, like, there was St. Mary's this year, and in which they won, but it's not really as – it's not a Power 5 conference. So a lot of questions about how good he really is could have been answered if he went someplace else, but shout-out to him for the loyalty of staying with the, you know, the team that got him there, that took a chance on him those years ago. So – but there's always that question. Yes, he dominated that conference, but – is he going to be like so dominant in the league, even though he hasn't had that much competition in the league in his college days? I don't know. It's something that, you know, that second half of evaluations where it's the combine, where it's, you know, interviews with the NBA teams and general managers, that's going to be a huge thing for him. If he can ace that and show that he can shoot threes at a decent enough clip, that's going to do a lot for him. I really do believe that he is a good basketball player. So I think that he will find a way and a role to succeed. Some comps that I kind of think of him as, like, you're thinking about a stocky ball handler. You know, I was thinking Josh Okogie with handles. They're both rather, you know, ferocious drivers. Now, Josh does not have anywhere near the dribble creation that Dylan has, but he's still a very good player. I mean, like, the Suns really liked him. He always finds a place to get on the court. I think Kyle Anderson is a pretty good comp for him as well. Now, Slow-Mo definitely is a much better shooter than him, but Dylan can drive. They're both tall. They're both lengthy. They can get to the rim. But the two guys that I see that are more of the high end, Josh and Kyle are kind of like role players. But if he hits and hits hard, I really do see Tyreek Evans and then Lonzo Ball as a high end. You know, 6'6". They find their way as a connective piece to the offense. Now, Dylan, along with Reek, can create and make things happen for the offense, and that he can use his creation to work off of, like, what he did. So I think he's more Tyreek Evans than Lonzo Ball, but both of these guys can be connective pieces towards a really good offense. So that's kind of what I was thinking with the comps. Now, let's talk about potential fits for the Portland Trailblazers in specifics. I don't think it's the best fit in the world with Dylan Jones, with his need to have the ball in his hands, with Scoot Shade and Anthony Simons and Jeremy Grant, with them being such ball-dependent players. The fit's going to be difficult. If he scales down and becomes a legit shooter, absolutely, he can fit with the Blazers. But if he scales down and becomes a legit shooter, he fits with everybody, because everybody could use a 6'7 guy that rebounds at a high level and can pass. If it was me and I was trying to tell him how to, you know, give him suggestions, get into that lab, work on his shooting. But in this draft, finding a guy with legit NBA skills and an NBA projected path of a wing connective piece in this draft specifically, I think it's a worthy pick if you're in the first or maybe even an early second. So if he was around when the Blazers had their that first second rounder, I absolutely would take a chance. It's just the fit isn't as easy as it is now. And I know I see people on Twitter say fit shouldn't matter in drafting, but when you're talking about a draft with this few top end talents, the fit actually means more. Because, like, last year, if you had a power forward but you got the first pick, you're taking Wembanyama and you're being ecstatic. There's no Wembanyamas, there's no Scoots, there's no Brandon Millers. You're talking about tier down, several tiers down in terms of the talent in this draft. So if there's a team that says we're one Dylan Jones away, they should take it. They should find their man and take it. So I would welcome him with open arms if he was there when the Blazers picked, but I'm not trading any assets to try and attain him. But I really do think he's a good player. I hope that he has all the success in the world and he can find a team that can give him opportunities to play ball and play at a high level. He is significantly older, which kind of limits where he can go, because you don't want to have a draft, like you don't want to mess up timelines. But I think if there's a team that just, we need a secondary playmaker off the bench, we're a good team, like let's say the Nuggets are tired of Reggie Jackson, I think Dylan Jones could fit into that really well and be a really nice player for them. And because he's such a veteran, he might be able to contribute now rather than in 3 or 4 years. I think you, in certain scenarios, you get him and he is a quality player as soon as he enters the league. So thank you so much for listening to my episode on Dylan Jones from Weber State. It's ball season. It's college basketball season. NBA, there's a lot of teams that are tanking, and there's a lot of teams that are, you know, set at where they are. So there's going to be a lot of weird NBA basketball, but this college, it's about to start. Get your tournament brackets filled out and enjoy the show of March Madness. Thank you, everybody. We are available on iTunes, and it is bonus episodes for the Holy Backboard. I didn't want to change the numbering, because it's not just me on it. It's Dustin is a huge part of it, so I didn't want to take him out. So these are bonus episodes on the Holy Backboard. We're on YouTube, but it's my particular YouTube channel, which I believe it's the Sage Streams. And it will be on TikTok, Stitcher, everywhere where you get your podcast. We are there under the, you know, the Holy Backboard. Before we wrap it up completely, this show is brought to you by oddshopper.com. I'm going to put my code in to the link. But Oddshopper is your one-stop shop for prop betting and regular betting. Like, they take a market approach to their betting content, and they will find better quality bets for you to play. And they teach you a lot about proper sports betting on their YouTube page. So I've used Oddshopper a lot this year, and I definitely am up because of it. Finding the right odds for you to do, and finding the right server. I use Underdog a lot, but if like FanDuel or DraftKings had the right bet, it gives you like, you know, if this is the best bet of the day, it shows you where it is. Or if like one book has a player at a 14 point prop and another has a at 11 and you project at 15, why don't you take the better prop? So check it out, oddshopper.com/DeSage. I will put it in the link. So if anybody is interested in upping up their betting game, definitely right now is a great time with MLB starting, the conference champion or the NCAA tournaments there, playoffs are coming up. It's a pretty damn good time to start betting and using Oddshopper as the way to do it. Is a really good chance. Sometimes your gut isn't as good as the numbers are. So thank you to everybody who listened. Peace out.
Peace.